The First Stockman's Bank had hired me to find the treasure. Having grown up in the county, I was convinced that no such treasure actually existed, but I never let my feelings supersede my business sense, so I had kicked off my fool's errand by insisting upon a 25% finder's fee. I was standing on the ranch house porch peering at a garden archway with a hanging cross that looked like a downsized version of the entrance when the bank's go-getter, Millie P. Friend, opened the front door with a creak, gasping for oil. I handed her my card. "Serafina Sharp," she said, reading it aloud. Brushing aside a magnificent cobweb, she said, "Let me show you the place. I don't think anything's been touched since the mid-20th century." As we walked around, floorboards screamed beneath my weight, and spiders scurried to the dark corners. Several holes in the roof became visible, especially around a fireplace that looked unused for decades. The oak furniture not below roof openings stood proud, ready, and dusty. "Shall we go where no person has gone?" she said, proud of her Star Trek reference. "At least not in this century." She pulled out a key and opened a locked door. "I've heard no one's been in here since those religious do-gooders started this ranch." We entered a musty library. Sunlight had colored the floor in uncovered portions, but not a creature was stirring. I can cite pop culture references, too. One shelf, untouched by the sun, and over a huge roll-top desk, caught my attention. On it, weighty tomes were piled in the contemporary way, with their spines to the wall. That single shelf held a stack of 4 books, a space, 30 books, a space, 5 books, a space, and 6 books. Had I not been a collector of old books, I might not have even noticed the unusual arrangement. On impulse, I opened the roll-top desk. A single item sat there. A calling card for the law firm of Jonathan Silver and Ira Gold was embellished with the scrollwork so typical of the late 19th century. "What a coincidence," said Millie P., pointing at the card. "That's the name of an 1870s law firm that evolved into the First Stockman's Bank." By then, I was looking at an old wall clock whose pendulum had long since stopped swinging at 4:30. Instinctively, I glanced at my watch. That time was just 5 minutes from now. "I apologize," said Millie P., "for I fear my impulsivity has led you on what my father calls a snipe hunt." "Don't be so quick to surrender to defeat," I said. "Let's go outside." The late afternoon sun at our backs, I led her to the left of the garden gate I had noticed earlier. "Have you located the treasure of Hanging Cross Ranch?" "I think we'll both know in about 3 minutes," I said, looking at my watch. Solution. After seeing the card for Silver and Gold, Serafina realized the stacks of books in a 4:30-5-6 pattern represented a day and time. Sure enough, when the 4:30 sun on May 6th shone through the hanging cross in the garden archway, the resulting X on the weedy ground designated the burial place of the lost treasure. The Hanging Judge by Dave Zeltzerman. From the files of Mike Stone. Hell is no picnic. There's always the risk of a marauding soul invading your hell and making your existence far more hellish than you could possibly imagine. But that is hardly the worst part of hell. The worst? The monotony. I might be hell's only operating private eye. When I was alive, I worked as a private investigator, and when I died after having my chest ripped apart by gunfire, I found myself continuing investigative work, although now I take on very different types of cases. My own private version of hell is Brooklyn circa 1998, which was the year I was killed. My hell extends into Manhattan, Queens, and the Bronx. It's not an exact replica of the New York I knew when I was alive. Some of the street signs are too blurry to read, others are just plain wrong, and of course, not all the buildings are the same,